This is Twit.
So, okay, so you've made this transition from, you know, being a kid with a growing interest in art and learning how to do this, and then suddenly you're a little bit older, the internet comes along, it enables, you know, everybody's kind of learning as they go along, but what I think the internet coming into the forum in the way that it did, actually did in retrospect, is it democratized so much of this stuff. And you, mm-hmm. I mean, how long did it take for you to get to the point where you were like, let me take my art, let me put it online, we'll do Extra Life webcomics? I mean, maybe that was just the second part of this transition. When did that all begin?
Well, so right out of high school, I went to college and studied art, mostly very traditional stuff, because again, at the time, there were no specialties into digital art. Digital art didn't exist really at that point,
right?
Not in the form it does today. It was for the very privileged few, that sort of thing. You might be able to take back then like a PageMaker class. Of course, PageMaker doesn't even exist anymore, but you know, you had the sort of the Adobe stuff happening, and you were, you know, working on Macs and that sort of thing. But that was about the extent of that side. It was mostly focused on desktop publishing. And so when I got in there, there was a lot of life drawing classes and, you know, studying art history and that sort of thing, working toward that kind of stuff, working toward being a commercial artist / graphic designer. But I didn't know where I would end up. Jump forward to like 93, 94-ish, and you know, Usenet's a huge thing, and I'm playing Doom because I downloaded it off the internet, which was still relatively unknown to people who hadn't quite seen what the web would become. So along comes the World Wide Web a year later, and then in my mind, everything changed, or at least started to change. I started to see what the internet could be, and that could be a whole lot of things. It was still kind of hard to get in those early days, though, because registering a website was still expensive. It was tricky. Nobody really knew how to do it. And then hosting somewhere, there weren't a million hosts to get to host your website. You had all very limited options in those early days. So I tinkered a lot, messed around a lot. A lot of video game stuff happened around then. 96, Quake came out, and we couldn't get enough of Quake, and we were playing it over dial-up connections, and it was the amazing thing ever. But I still was working for a company, was doing graphic design for them, kind of biding my time, all the while creating art and doing other things the traditional way, submitting them to magazines, trying to get into Psychology Today or whatever with some single panel comic. And they'd send these nice letters back and tell me, you know, how warmly appreciated it was that I would submit, but sorry, we're not, you know, can't use it at this time sort of thing. That was just kind of my mode. And suddenly in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, things like hosting become possible. A little weird format called MP3 happened.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That really changed my life. And at the time, in 1998, I started what may be, I don't know if it's the first podcast ever. I don't take any credit for this because I don't know. Because it wasn't a podcast, that's for sure. But it was a 56K downloadable MP3 file that I created weekly for a video game I was really into. And I created basically a fan show for it. And I had call-ins, and I had, you know, all this kind of stuff, very radio-like stuff. Oh, and by the way, at this time, I'm also volunteering every weekend at a local AM radio station, talk radio station, just to come in and do computer tech calls during this computer segment they had. They didn't pay for it. It wasn't a paid gig or anything, but I just loved it so much, and I'd go in there, and I'd just volunteer and do it. So I was already had that kind of bug going on. I start this little show. We put it up on a web page. People can download it.
What was the name of the show?
It was called Infiltration Radio, and the game was called Infiltration. It was actually a mod for Unreal Tournament back then, and I was super, super into it. The game was really neat. Did a lot of things that modern games have borrowed from since, whether they know it or not. But anyway, I was so into it that I was producing this content, and then also started a webcomic. And that webcomic was called, I think I called it Real Tunes. It was stupid, but it was basically like jokes about military style shooter games, and I started putting that up in various places, and that ended up getting picked up by, at the time, GameSpy.com, which was still sort of running big then, and that started an interesting relationship. And then the show, you know, continued to grow and do all these things. But again, there was no podcasting, there were no RSS. It was basically Winamp players. People downloaded and played on that thing, and it would take forever to get a 5 meg file because, again, we're back in the Napster days here.
Yep.
And but that really was the start. That's when things were like, whoa, okay, these are two things I can not only do, but I'm getting like reactions out of people. I'm getting emails flooding in. I have questions. People want to be interviewed. I have stuff happening, and I didn't you know, there's no money being made, but there was definitely this weird interest. And that's where it dawned on me. This could be a thing. I didn't know how quickly or what its final form would be. I'm still not sure, by the way, of all these questions, because I don't think we're anywhere near final form on this stuff. But I knew there was something there. Jump ahead a bunch of years. I started Extra Life Radio right around the time I started the comic. That comic started in 2001. Extra Life Radio a year later. That was just a way to talk to my fans that read the comic.
And you were were you presenting this art and this Extra Life Radio to the same audience, like through the same portal? Because I mean, you could put up a site, but you gotta make sure that the people actually find it. You know, that was a big challenge then.
Yeah, and you're also talking pre Facebook, pre Twitter, pre everything, right? So there was no way to sort of virally, well, it's truly, you could still be discovered virally, but it had to be truly virally, not just because someone ran into your Twitter post. So it was a lot of very grassroots stuff, like, all right, I've got a website, I have an audience who's been following me a little bit, but how do I expand? So it was a lot of posts in forums, or it was going to the web comics portals that existed then. They were kind of like web rings. They don't exist so much anymore. They kind of do.
The web rings, yeah.
Those were big. And so I would submit my comic to those, and they would bring in some people. And it was just kind of this slow and steady wins the race, which is important because I actually think that that's my entire key, has been this slow and steady incline. There's no such thing in what I've done with Frog Pants, with the artwork, with anything that was like one of these jumps. It was always this slow ramp up. Never any dips, but always this ramp up. And I think that's a good, stable way to expect things to go if you're making quote unquote new media these days. I hate that term now, but kind of new old media, whatever we're going to call it. Media. But that audience has been really faithful. It's followed me all through that time. It's really when 2004 hit, the comics are doing well already. They've been up for 4 years. They're starting to sell, you know, prints, and I'm getting commissions. And so that's actually starting to sustain itself. Still working a, you know, full-time job, but this stuff's starting to pick up at home. But when 04 hits and the RSS standard happens and podcasting as a thing ignites, all bets are off. I saw that for what it was and went, this is it. This is where we're going. And I just kind of threw everything into it. Didn't know how long it would take. Took me a little longer because I was chicken. I wish I would have jumped out earlier, sooner, but you were actually there the day I did it.
Yep.
I called into the 1,000th episode of Buzz Out Loud and made my announcement I was leaving and doing it full time in 2008. And it's been great ever since. Again, my only regret is I didn't do it sooner. I think I could have accomplished more. But now I've only got me as a boss, and I'm kind of a jerk to myself. I don't let myself take a lot of time off. I'm real bad about vacations and things. But It is literally me doing what my 8-year-old self wanted to do. And I wish, I always say this, I wish I could go back in time, not scare him off, because he'd have had a little stranger danger moment there probably. But I just want to tell him face to face, dude, trust me, I'm a little fatter. I got a little gray going, but it's awesome here where I'm at. So just keep at it. Be excited. All the things you think are cool are about to become cool for everyone. And if I could do that, it would just make that kid a lot happier than he was at 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a crazy roller coaster since, and very hard for me to say what the key to it has been, other than community is everything. Outreach to your fans is everything. Making real life connections with them. They'll be loyal. They'll stick with you. They'll tell their friends. That will grow on its own. And again, that slow and steady wins the race sort of approach is a really viable one. Everybody wants to do it overnight, but I just think that is the one, that is the most rare of cases. It can happen, and when it does, it usually means you can fall just as quickly.
Absolutely.
I really like this slow way of going.